Turn with me to the book of Exodus, chapter 34. I'll read a few verses here, beginning at verse 5 of the 34th chapter of the book of Exodus. I did say Exodus, didn't I? Exodus. I thought for a minute there I might have said Genesis. The book of Exodus, chapter 34 and verse 5. Says, "And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there," stood with Moses. Moses, they said about him, was the meekest man on the face of the earth. Descended in the cloud and stood with him there, and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, and upon the children's children, unto the third and the fourth generation." And Moses made haste and bowed his head towards the earth and worshiped the God of heaven. I want to talk to you a little bit here this morning about the pardon of sin, the forgiveness of sin. Just the very thought of the word forgiveness is a blessing of great worth and great value. Forgiveness, pardon. It's not only of great worth and great value. Without it, no one of Adam's race, no human being can be happy without it. There may be a temporal happiness, but not a real happiness, not a genuine happiness. A genuine happiness only comes through the forgiveness of God, the forgiveness of our sins. And when the conscience of a sinner is pierced, stabbed, wounded with guilt, and oppressed with fears of the divine wrath of God, when that takes place, then a man will seek for pardon and forgiveness as a thirsty man seeks water and receives it with joy. Now, as great and as necessary as the blessing of forgiveness is, had it not been revealed by God in the Holy Bible, we would, as men and women and boys and girls, been left in a miserable, uncertain state, wondering if there was such a thing as the forgiveness of sin. If it were not for the revelation of God here in the Bible that tells us about forgiveness, we would of all men be miserable and live in a state of uncertainty as to the future world. But God hath been pleased to reveal in His Word that pardon and forgiveness of sin is of Him. Thanks be unto God that we have this absolute certainty that there is forgiveness with God. It was known to the patriarchs of old. It was known unto Moses. Moses knew about it. No, Moses experienced it. Moses tasted that the Lord God was a forgiving God. That part of His nature was that He was a forgiving God. And that's what Moses said here. He said that the Lord God, merciful and gracious and long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. The Lord forgives sin. It's His prerogative to forgive sin. Only God can forgive sin. No one else can forgive sin. Only God. And it is a great mercy, a wonderful blessing, that you and I here this morning can experience the mercies and the forgiveness of sin against God, though we have been out and out enemies of God and have rebelled against Him, His nature, and His law. And let me tell you just a little bit here in regard to how we're described, in order that we may have some appreciation for His forgiveness. We deliberately have rebelled against Him deliberately according to our nature. Now, here in the Bible, the sinner is described as overall defiled and loathsome, with all manner of hateful impurities about him. His pardon or forgiveness is described as a perfect cleansing of his person and the covering of all of his filth. Over in the book of Psalms, chapter 14 and verse 3 is this verse. The book of Songs, chapter 14, and verse 3, it says this. Well, first, it says, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. That is, the fool said, there's no God for me. There is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable things. There's none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. Now, what I'm saying here this morning is that there is forgiveness. God is a forgiving God. He will pardon our iniquities and our transgressions. And I'm saying and trying in a way to describe who He forgives. The awfulness of those that He forgives and pardons and puts their sins away, never to remember them against them anymore. He describes them like this. He says they are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. That means, that word filthy means full of filth. They're full of filth. They are revoltingly dirty. They are foul. They are obscene. They are lewd. And they are indecent. That describes to some measure those that are in need of God's forgiveness. So just by thinking about that a little bit, you can see that, you can see the greatness and the glory of God, that He would have anything at all to do with such filthy sinners like you and I are. Indecent and full of filth. Everything about us is contaminated with pollution and corruption of sin. And there is not a sound spot to be found in us. We are all together filthy before God. But yet, God in His mercy, in His kindness and His goodness, is going to forgive some of Adam's fallen race of all of their filth and lewdness and indecencies, and not charge them with sin anymore. That's going to happen. He's going to do that. His pardon is represented by blotting out the debt. We're debtors to God by way of sin. And His pardon and forgiveness is represented in the Bible as blotting out the debt. It's likened unto a person who labors under a heavy weight, a heavy load, a heavy burden that galls his shoulders while he carries it, sinks his spirit, and he falls into despair. Now, His forgiveness is represented in the Bible by lifting up and removing this heavy burden and load and weight from his shoulders. In Isaiah chapter 44, turn there with me, if you will. Isaiah chapter 44. And verse 22. This is what he says. He says in verse 21, remember these, O Jacob and Israel, for thou art my servant. I have formed thee, thou art my servant. O Israel, thou shalt not be forgotten of me. Listen to this now. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. Here he describes them by blotting them out. Blotting the sinner's sins out. Blotting them from the face of heaven. Putting them out of the sight of God. He has so blotted out our sins that there is no trace of them to be found. The method and the way and the means that God hath blotted out our sins, of course, is in him whom God hath sent, the Lord Jesus Christ. And our sins were laid on him, and he bore the punishment due the sins that was laid on him, our sins, and God blotted them out so that they'll never be seen in the face of heaven, in the eyes of God, and in the eyes of God's divine justice. He has so blotted our transgressions and our sins out of his sight. And no mortal shall be able to tell what's become of. When God, this great and glorious and wonderful God, who hath compassion and pity upon us, when he blots them out, they are forever gone. And it's no wonder that the apostle in the New Testament says, those that are in him, the Lord Jesus Christ, are not condemned. Why are they not condemned? Because their condemnation was laid on Christ, and their sins were blotted out. And it says there also in the book of Romans, who can lay anything to the charge of God's people? If our sins were blotted out, and no mortal can tell where they went, who then can charge to God's people any sin? They're blotted out. They're nowhere to be found. This charge against us has been reversed. We have no sin. No mortal, regardless of how wise he might be, shall be able to tell where our sins are. We're described in the Bible by being disobedient disobedient to God's divine law. And that's a out-and-out rebellion against the holy, 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 holy God. It's rebellion against His magnificent majesty, out and out. And we are, because of our rebellion and our disobedience against God and His law, we're considered in the Scripture as a convict under the sentence of death, waiting only to be executed. The sentence of death has been passed upon us when we were born. The sentence of death. And we are like a convict that awaits in the holding cell, waiting for the day that judgment in its finality falls upon us. We're like a convict. We're like criminals. A convict, a felon, is one that has broken the law. We are worse than felons. We have broken not man's law, but we have broken God's law, and we did it with delight in our hearts. And so we are under the subject of death and are in a holding pattern right now that hangs over our head. Now, forgiveness, pardon, according to the Bible, consists in reversing this sentence of death and in remitting the penalty due his crimes. Under this consideration, which is the right notion of forgiveness and pardon, the language of God is like this. Deliver him from going down into the pit. I have found a ransom. Over in Isaiah, one more time, chapter 1, it says this. Isaiah chapter 1. And I think I put in the beginning of the chapter there, real close. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. You see how he describes Adam's fallen race here in the first chapter. He says, "The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider." A sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord, and they have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. And they are gone away backward, or alienated, or separated themselves from Him. Why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. Increase your revolting attitude and ways more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there's no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence. And it is desolate, desolate as overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Except the Lord of hosts had left us a very small raiment, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices? Unto me, saith the Lord, I am full of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts. I delight not in the blood of bullocks or lambs or of he-goats. Describes us as sinners. But here, listen to what he says now in verse 18. He says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. That is, he'll make the scarlet and the crimson offenses of his people as white as the lamb's wool, as white as snow. He'll blot out our sins. And he said, I'll make your sins, your red, scarlet, crimson offenses against me, I'll make them as white as the driven snow. Now, in this forgiveness of God Almighty, the Bible teaches that grace reigns, and the riches of grace is displayed in the reigning of it. The Scriptures declare that when our offended king, when our offended sovereign God pardons or forgives any member of Adam's fallen race, he forgives them of all their sins. Let me read one more time from the book of Psalms here. Psalm 51 and verse 9. He says, make me to hear joy and gladness, happiness. I said the only man that can be really happy in this life, not talking about the life to come, we know what's going to transpire there. Man can only be really happy in this life if the man whom God forgives and reverses the sentence of death that hangs over his head, he can experience joy and happiness of God. He said, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, blot out all mine iniquities. Then over in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 33. And verse 8. This is the language of God. He said, I will cleanse them from all their iniquity. I will cleanse them from all their iniquity. You remember I've said that the scriptures declare that when our offended sovereign king pardons any member of Adam's fallen race, he forgives all their sins. I will cleanse them from all their iniquity, whereby they have sinned against me. I will pardon all their iniquities, whereby they have sinned, and whereby they have transgressed against me. In another place it says, he will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths. He did not say that he would blot out a part of our sins and the greater of our sins he would leave intact. But he said, I will blot them all out. And here he says he will cast them into the depths. That is, he will not cast a few of them into the depths of the sea, but he'll cast them all into the depths of the sea. To whomsoever God pardons and forgives, he forgives all of their sins. And if you and I can lay hold this God who pardons and forgives, we can be nothing but happy to know all of our sins has been blotted out. And our Lord said he made an end of it. And he declares here by the patriarchs of old that he's cast them into the depth of the sea. Not a few of them, but all of them. To whomsoever God pardons sin, he so forgives it, that as to the eye of his vindictive justice, that says the soul that sinneth shall surely die. He so puts our sins away, removes them so far from us and from him, that he himself sees it no more. They're gone, and there is none to be found, none to be charged against them. So well did the writer say, them that are in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation. That's the forgiveness of sins. That's to be sought for. They're all gone. They're taken away. Forgiveness certainly is worthy of God and suitable to the chief of sinners. Paul said, I'm the chief of sinners. And the forgiveness of God was suitable to Paul, who was the chief of sinners. It reaches to the worst of crimes. There's no crime that can be committed that God cannot forgive on the basis of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. The most abominable transgressions that you can think of, by His gracious and wonderful forgiveness, He makes these red, crimson, scarlet sins whiter than snow in His sight. Though you see yourself maybe this morning as a monster of sin and iniquity, sin of the heart, sin of the lips, sin of the life, sin of omission, sin of commission, sin of ignorance, and sin against knowledge, yet there's hope for you. Come, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Rest for your soul. Make any difference how many sins or how great your crimes are. Come to me and I'll forgive you. I'll put them away. I'll forget that you ever had them. I'll never bring them up again against you anymore. No mortal can make any charge against you. I have so completely put away your sins. No reason for a man to sink into deep despair when there's full pardon, complete forgiveness with the God of heaven. The Bible says He waits to be gracious and to bestow this invaluable blessing of forgiveness upon him who's in despair, who has this load and weight and guilt upon his shoulders. He waits to lift it up and relieve him and show mercy. This mercy of God is not conditional. It is not a narrow mercy or a limited mercy. It's not like that which is exercised by men, where a limit or a condition is put upon it. Not so with the mercy of God and the grace of God and the goodness of God. No conditions whatsoever. The only condition is, that I know of, that it's for sinners who can't save themselves. If you think this morning that you have got some small part in your justification before God, it's not for you. It's for him that can't help himself. Jesus did not come except to save sinners. He didn't come to save the righteous. He came to save sinners. And He's provided a robe of righteousness for sinners, believing sinners, who, like David, said, I trust in Him. For those that trust in Him, He has a robe of righteousness, a clothing wrought with pure gold, a garment of fancy needlework. It's an everlasting salvation, an everlasting righteousness. It's a robe of righteousness that he puts on us and makes us acceptable with God. It's a robe that cannot be tarnished. It has a beauty with unfaded glory and unfaded splendor. It's a robe that entitles us to all the blessings of God's salvation. It's a garment which will never decay or never rot. It's a robe of righteousness that will never wear out. It will see us through. After a million years has been spent, the righteousness and the brightness and the value of that garment will continue the same as it was the first day that God put it on us. It's there for whoever needs it. If you don't need it, that's something else. But if you need it, it's available to whoever believes in the Lord Jesus. It's a righteousness already performed by the Lamb of God Himself. It's not something wrought in us by the operation of the Spirit. It doesn't have anything to do with us. It's a righteousness that has already been performed. It's a work that's been finished by the Lord Jesus. He came to work out or bring in an everlasting righteousness for His people. It was completed when He cried, "Lord God," He said, "it's finished. Work that You've given Me to do, it's finished." All that the law of God and the justice of God required of us was laid to His charge. All of our sins, big and little, sins that you don't even remember. I've forgotten a million of my sins. I've forgotten sins of my youth, sins of my manhood. I've forgotten them. I couldn't do anything about them because I've forgotten them. They're gone. Oh, the greatness and the glory of Almighty God was that in His infinite wisdom, He gathered up all of my sins and all of the sins of His people. Forgiveness of God to be full and to be complete. God must forgive all sin. All of it. Sins you don't know about. Sins you've forgotten. Sins you do know about. And all in the greatness of God, He gathered them all up. He looked upon us. Seeing where we come from, when we was born, where we'd be, and what we'd do, what we'd say. When we was born and when we'd die. All the sins that we'd ever committed. He gathered them up. Only God could do that. God gathered them up. Laid them on the impeccable Lord Jesus Christ. Later on, the sinless Son of God. And he bore the penalty due. He made an end of them. And God cast them into the depth of the sea. And he said, I'll make you whiter than the driven snow. I'll remember them against you no more. No mortal can bring any charge against you. Because in my pardon and in my forgiveness, I've forgiven all your sins. I don't understand why. I don't even understand why the natural man's not concerned about what I'm saying this morning. All that law and justice required was charged to him. Sins of the believer. I don't know about you, but me, as I've already said, I've forgotten about a lot of them. But the justice of God demanded full satisfaction for every sin that I committed against His justice and His honor and His love and His glory. And He hung the Lord Jesus Christ on the tree. And the law that demands full satisfaction wouldn't let Him go. He hung there, and the law would not let Him go until full satisfaction was made for all my sins that laid on Him. And He paid all I owed, 16 ounces to the pound. No more, no less. He paid it all. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe, my soul. He paid it all. The last penny must be paid, and He paid the last. To be without this great and glorious blessing is to be without God. To be without forgiveness is to be without God. And to be without God is such an awful state. I couldn't describe what it is to be without God. You have no God to go to when trouble comes. When the storms come upon you. When the tempest begins to howl. You've got no God to go to. Oh, you say a few prayers, but you just well say them to yourself. You just as well say them to a stump. Because you've got no God to go to. If you've got no Christ, you've got no God. If you've got no sacrifice, you're a heathen. And you're still a rebel against God. Peace has not been made with God in your soul. You've got no God to carry your fears and your needs to. You may have 10,000 times $10,000. You may have that stored up in your treasure. And you may have all kinds of knowledge about various things. But if you know not God, you have nothing, absolutely. And one day, listen to me, one day, you and I shall be laid out on our dying bed, ready to drop off into an unseen, unnavigated eternity. what will become of you and I at that time. This is the state we're all in by nature, dead in trespasses and in sins. Without God and without Christ in this world, without forgiveness, without His righteousness, without His mercy, without sanctification, without justification, we're without God. Now you've got to have a righteousness in which God Himself cannot find a flaw in. It's got to be a perfect righteousness, one without flaw and one without blemish. Or you cannot be saved. Where is this righteousness to be found? It can only be found in Him whom God has sent, who become a man, and as a man paid all we owed, suffered all we'll ever suffer if we be believers, clothed us in His perfect righteousness, and makes us accepted in all of His acceptability. I'm telling you today the truth. As of God, there is forgiveness. God will forgive the poor, helpless, hopeless, doomed, damned sinner that can't save himself, but cries out to God for mercy. He'll save him. He'll clothe him with the righteousness of His Son and make him accepted in the person of Christ. And he'll have God in this world and God in the world to come. But to be without God, I can't describe it. Let's stand, we'll be dismissed.